computer skills, and experience with software applications. Also, you must love the Lord and understand Christian terminology. For an in-person interview, call 904-262-7777 and leave a message. First Conservative Baptist Church is an equal opportunity employer. Thanks for wanting to serve the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us. We're talking about news from a biblical view, a biblical worldview. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. When we look at what is happening based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, it doesn't change necessarily what is happening, but it should change our vision, our understanding, our recognition of what is taking place. And what we see happening today is the deterioration of morals, ethics, and values. It's a deterioration of the fundamental foundation. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So what are the foundations of America? It's a trust in our governmental leadership. It is a trust in the morals, the ethics, and values that our biblical worldview should prevail and in the civil government with our governmental leaders. We're finding that failure. And as that fails, the vacuum that is caused there is being filled by immoral, unholy, ungodly, demonic leadership that's causing major catastrophic events in our nation. Yes, God is in control. God's on the throne. Be at the heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is deceitful and wicked, and who can know it? We need to recognize that. And just before the news break, we were talking about the Secret Service protection. Now, I'd love to hear from you. What your opinion? Did the Secret Service do what we could call the proper job in securing that ballroom for the event? What else should have been done based on making sure that the president was safe? And all of the leadership, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't just Trump's life in danger. The president, the vice president, the Speaker of the House, all of the major leadership of America, all in that room. A very catastrophic thing could have taken place. Should there be a $300 million ballroom paid for by donations and not a dime of tax money? Should that be built on the White House grounds as President Trump is attempting? There'd been a stay order. That stay order's just been lifted. Should that be completed rapidly? I say yes, because if there's a place that is secure, and by the way, in that ballroom that is to be built, magnificent facilities, the windows will be bulletproof 7 inches thick. Could that have saved a problem or prevented a problem that we're talking about now that just took place with the attempted assassination by a 31-year-old wicked, evil heart getting on a train and traveling to Washington, D.C. from California, checking in the Hilton Hotel the day before, so that he could get his weapons and ammo in the building. Upstairs in an upper room, come down the steps, go into one of the back areas, pull his weapons out, load them, get prepared, rush then the magnetometer right outside the doorway of the ballroom and rush in. Now, I've got some serious questions about how that was allowed. How did the Secret Service not know the potentiality of some evil, wicked doer in one of the rooms? How did the Secret Service miss the fact that just one magnetometer right outside the doorway of the ballroom would prevent a shooter or something evil, wicked from taking place? And that's what was happening. Just one way to check, see if someone had a weapon. And this dude, 31-year-old, not calling his name on there, 31-year-old, rushed the magnetometer, rushed by. I have another question. Why is it that they chased him down and wrestled him to the ground rather than neutralizing him to begin with? It was a nefarious affair. It was a nefarious attempt. He wanted to assassinate President Trump. Anything that will rush through the security like that says there's a problem. And when you know the president is seated inside, why do you chase the dude down, is my term. Why not just neutralize him? That's my view. You can disagree if you want to, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Brother Youngblood. That was just lacking security right there. But let me bring something to your attention that you probably know, hadn't even thought about it. Bill Clinton was our 42nd president of the United States. 42 is acquainted with the oppression of the Israel in the United States and the Lord's coming. And now we've been living under grace these 5 years since we're in where we're at right now today. We're living under grace. And if we don't get this thing straightened out by October or November when the election is, we got about 6 more months, we're going to see just how influential the devil is with God's people and the nation that we live under. They are trying to destroy it.
Brother, you're exactly right.
And Clinton was our 42nd, and now then we have Trump as our 47th president, and he's trying to get our nation straightened out.
Absolutely. Let me expand that thought just a little bit, Brother Davis. We've been living under the day of grace for about, 2,000 years now, what is called the church age. And in the church age, it is the day of grace. But God's grace has a limit to it. And we are witnessing, I believe, and you can make a introductory thought if you'd like added to it, I believe that we're witnessing the day of grace closing as a result of America saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ, America saying no to the flag, America saying no to prayer, America banning anything that would be considered morals, ethics, and values. And we're witnessing, I believe, God's progressive judgment upon a nation, the United States of America, for saying no to God, no to Jesus, no to anything that's called biblical truth, banning the Bible, banning prayer, etc., etc. I believe we're witnessing the progressive judgment of God on the United States of America. And that means to me, as Christians, we need to recognize the time is short. The day is short. The time is closing when there's opportunity to say to the world, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope. It's the only help. It's the only answer. But we need, as Christians, and you've heard me say this before, and you have also, we need to be the witnesses, the watchmen on the wall, warning danger ahead. If we warn, the blood is off our hands. If we fail to warn, God says the blood's on our hands for not warning. So I'm taking that very seriously in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. I'm taking it very seriously that we need to be the watchman on the wall. So, Brother Davis, I'm thankful for you, thankful for your call, thankful for your position.
Now, let me go back. You mentioned this a while ago when you went to Genesis and said that God looked down and saw the wickedness of man and he's going to deal with him. He sees our wickedness now, and we're looking for a judgment. So I'm looking for that judgment to take place when Christ comes in the air to get us out of here.
Amen, brother. I second that motion. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? Did the security team called the Secret Service fail in some fashion? I believe they did. They failed royally, in my opinion. And I listened to Kash Patel with the FBI this morning saying they're working closely with the Secret Service, and they're going to try to get to the bottom of it, make corrections necessary to make sure this doesn't happen again. Now, I'm not trying to say this in a denigrative sense for Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, but I am saying that I'm tired of hearing the mantra, we're going to make sure these things never happen again. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats have breath, as long as they're in any fashion of control, we're going to continue to go through the process of seeing wicked, evil, demonstrably demonic things take place in our nation, because I believe that's the source of it. I believe that we're looking at the source, and the source is a demonically controlled a group of people called the Democrats today. They hate America. They hate the Constitution. They hate Donald J. Trump. They hate anything that's morals, ethics, and values. In fact, I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, about this shooter. It said he hates Christians. President Trump reveals the manifesto left by the suspect allegedly trying to assassinate the president and all of the top officials. This article reads, President Donald Trump says the gunman who allegedly shot at the Secret Service agents during the Trump assassination attempt at the White House correspondents' dinner in Washington, D.C., he hates Christians based on his own manifesto. This article reads a lot of things, but I'm going to simplify it for us. He hates Christians. That's one thing for sure, Donald Trump told the media when he was being interviewed in the Sunday briefing. He had a lot of hatred in his heart for quite a while, Trump said, as his motive apparently was a religious thing, and it was strongly anti-Christian. Further in the article, the statement is made. So he's got some big problems for the rest of his life. His family knew that he had difficulty. Maybe they should have reported this a little bit earlier, but it's hard for this thing to be done. Allen reportedly sent the shooter sent an anti-Trump manifesto to his own family about 10 minutes before the opening fire at the annual dinner, indicating that he was trying to kill the top officials and President Trump, even signing his letter as the friendly federal assassin. Ladies and gentlemen, and by the way, just for your information, there was about three or four online media sources that carried the full 1,000-word manifesto. I pulled those up to print, and each one, three different online sources, says, oops, that article is no longer available. My question is, why was it taken down by the media? Why was it taken down by the online platforms that were carrying it? Why is it that it is trying to be sequestered now from the general public? What is it in that the Marxist media that controls the platforms, what is it they do not want you and I to know? What is it they're trying to sequester? I believe it's the fact that he hated Christianity, he hated spirituality, and he was moved, motivated, and mandated by people like Hakeem Jeffers and Chuck Schumer and others. You heard me say it. Well, I'm talking about the key leadership in the Democratic Party. This article further says, this is what the man said, turning the other cheek is for when you yourself are being oppressed. I'm not the person raped in a detention camp. I'm not the fisherman executed without a trial. I'm not a school kid blown up or a child star or a teenage girl abused by many criminals in this administration. Turning the other cheek when someone else is oppressed is not Christian behavior. It is complicity in the oppressor's crimes. That's what he's claiming. He's claiming that in the Trump administration that people are being oppressed, that teenagers are being raped, and that somehow, some way, there are people that are being treated wrongly by the Trump administration. Where did he get that from? Show me some evidence of it. It's coming from the Marxist media, ladies and gentlemen. The Marxist media. He mentioned his target as administration officials. They are targets prioritized for high ranking to the lowest, for highest ranking to the lowest. Here's what he says. I'm not willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor, a turncoat, hands with the criminals. Traitor to coat my hands with the criminals and the crimes, the shooter said. An apparent reference to President Donald Trump. Where did he get this mindset that went into his manifesto? From the Marxist media. from the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat leaders. This order article reads further, in order to minimize casualties, I will be using a buckshot rather than slugs, less penetrating through the walls. It will still go through most everyone here to get the target if we are absolutely necessary. On the basis, and most people choose to attend speeches by a pedophile, speeches now, he says, by a pedophile, a rapist, a traitor, and thus complicit. But I really hope it doesn't come to having to shoot everybody. Like the one thing that I immediately noticed walking into the hotel. This is the shooter now. He said, time he walked into the hotel is the sense of arrogance. I walk in with the multiple weapons, and not a single person there considers the possibility that I could be a threat to anybody. The security at the event, this is the shooter saying this now, the security at the event is all outside, focused on protesters, current arrivals. But apparently no one thought about what happens if someone checks in the day before. Like, this level of incompetence is insane, and I very sincerely hope it's corrected by the time this country gets actually competent leadership in the office again. This is some of the things out of his manifesto that was allowed to be online that you could print. Allen said his brother had a tendency, this is the brother, had a tendency to make radical statements, and his rhetoric constantly referred to a plan. This is the brother of the shooter, that his brother had a plan to do something to fix the issues in the world today. Further, he said, he would regularly go to the shooting range and train with his firearms. Further, he was part of a group called Wide Awakes, that is, those that are wide awake, knowing supposedly what's taking place and what needs to be done to get rid of the Nazi in the Oval Office. This 31-year-old attempted assassin of President Trump, said he attended the No Kings protest in California. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on, but may it be simply put, we had a man that had believed the lie, a man that had been, and yet the meter saying, who was it? There was, I believe it was Hakeem Jeffers or Chuck Schumer, one of the major leaders in the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, that said, we don't know yet what the real motivation was. Even Barack Hussein Obama said, we don't know his real motivation. Yes, they do. A thousand word manifesto that kept referring to having to fix the nation, having to remove the Nazi, having to remove the pedophile, having to remove the one that was the child molester, etc., etc., all referring back to, in a denigrative sense, to President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Here's a headline. Ex-Fox News commentator remarks about Trump hours before the assassination attempt does not age very well. I don't know who this person is. S.E. Coop, that is S-E-C-U-P-P, a former Fox News commentator who now works for CNN. Wonder why. Made a stunning statement about President Donald Trump just hours before Saturday night's assassination attempt, claiming the commander-in-chief wants journalists, listen, this person, former Fox News, now with CNN, publicly said that the commander-in-chief wants journalists dead, end quote. It was the White House Counsel Association. Quote, they made it real easy for Trump to attend. And I know, glad to see everybody's in great spirits and this is a party. I'm real bummed, this writer says, this analyst, this former Fox News media, and that's CNN. I'm really bummed about tonight, because here's what's happening tonight. Goes on to denigrate Trump, how Trump is trying to sequester the media. Trump is trying to keep the media from saying what they want to say. And she is really upset that Trump is going to be at that banquet, that he never should have been invited, and he ought not to be allowed to speak. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's going back to those that are saying, we don't know what happened. I know what took place. We see what took place. It was a person, and they keep saying, we don't know how he got radicalized. We don't know when he got radicalized. Yes, you do. Look at his manifesto. Tells you completely, and for any sane person, you can read it and understand he's been brainwashed, and it has pickled his demonic brain. And when Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and wicked, who can know it? We're witnessing that deceitfully wicked heart that wanted to pull the trigger to assassinate President Donald J. Trump. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we ask the question, who motivated it? Who caused it? I've just got a little brief list here. Time won't allow to go into each one. Hakeem Jeffries. Somebody needs to check his mental acuity. Somebody needs to check and see if he has just recently been an attendee in some insane asylum someplace. When you listen to the man talk, you wonder what he's trying to say in his jargon. And the whole point is, anything to twist the words and try to prevent. One of our callers just a few minutes ago said something about the November election. Ladies and gentlemen, all that we see taking place today that's bubbling up to a crescendo, being promulgated and pushed by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, and also by an organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center been in existence since 1971 on the false pretense that it was there to identify those that are the Christian nationalists, those that are the haters, those that are the racist, so that people will know who they are and they will not be a part of society to do what the organization claims they were attempting to do. Listen, what has taken place in relationship to that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact the Southern Poverty Law Center has been the promulgator of hatred and animus since 1971. I'm looking at a headline. Allegedly, the Southern Poverty Law Center allegedly funneled KKK and the neo-Nazis. A federal grand jury has indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center on fraud charges for allegedly funneling over $3 million to the extremist groups it claimed to be fighting, raising troubled questions about nonprofit accountability and the donors' trust. SPLC faced 11 federal counts, including wire fraud, bank fraud, money laundering, for security funding extremists. DOJ alleges the nonprofit paid over $3 million to the KKK and the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists affiliated with the group since 2014. Shell companies and sham accounts allegedly used to disguise the payments contradict the organization's anti-hate mission. SPLC defends its actions as legitimate intelligence work, claiming the DOJ investigation is politically motivated and weaponized. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we see taking place is where individuals involved in that which is called hate speech are those that are presenting. Listen, I heard one commentator, one anchor, one news media person that had his head screwed on straight. He said what the Southern Poverty Law Center is doing, SPLC, what they're doing is as a hospital that would create a virus, spread the virus throughout the hospital, and then come up with the antivirus that protects them. In other words, you cause the problem, and then you supposedly have the answer to heal the problem. That's exactly, ladies and gentlemen, what the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing since 1971. Did you realize the Southern Poverty Law Center had on its list as hate crime, racist groups? Listen, without any equivocation, every Christian organization on a national level had been on the list being with the claim that they were racist or that they were hate groups. Did you realize Charlie Kirk and his organization were on the list of Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group, a racist hate group? And the person that assassinated Charlie Kirk believed that lie, and multitudes of governmental agencies that when they wanted to find out about an organization, they would go to, guess who, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they would be told a lie. I'm looking at a headline in the article. It says, nonprofits are not required to publish full donor list. The Southern Poverty Law Center is a 501c3 nonprofit. Like most charities, it does not disclose all donors' donations publicly. The U.S. law, IRS Form 990, does require public disclosure of donors' names for nonprofits exempt for private foundations. J.P. Morgan Chase, OpenAI, Chick-fil-A, George Soros, George Clooney, Tim Cook, Fidelity Charitable, National Philanthropic Trust. Many of these also routed through anonymous donors with foundations as a front for the dollars coming in. All of these organizations have been funding the Southern Poverty Law Center. You ask the question, why would Christian organization like Chick-fil-A make a donation to the Southern Poverty Law Center? It's paying the extortion, ladies and gentlemen. Many companies were doing that so that they would not be their names dragged through the mud, or dragged through the mud, as it should be. And they would try to pay the extortion fee. It was a extortion protection fee. I will pay you. I will donate to your organization. Just don't hurt me, harm me, or do anything to destroy my reputation. George Clooney, George Soros, Tim Cook, just a few of the mega names on the list that I have before me. Crisco Systems Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, Public Welfare Foundation, Unbound Philanthropic Foundation, America's Charities Foundation, Fidelity Charitable, Suave Charitable, Vanguard Charitable, Pick Power Foundation, J.B. Foundation, Grove Foundation, Rice Family Foundation. I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the names. The Public Welfare Foundation. I could go on and on and on with the names, ladies and gentlemen, that were part across the nation of funding this wicked, evil, demonically controlled group that wanted to, if you said something about Christianity, spirituality, then you were a racist, you were a hate group, hate mongers. That was the two major terms they used, racism, racist, and hate groups. And they designated every Christian organization, every Christian group, nonprofit group, small or large, designated as that to demean, to tear down, and to destroy. With that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, no wonder you have those that have come up with the idea that somehow, some way, as a patriot, I need to go in and fix the problem. And fixing the problem in a demonically controlled mind is to go in and assassinate, eliminate, execute the leader of our nation, President Donald J. Trump. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. It says, you read the what? From some sick person? President Trump tortures the 60-minute anchor as a horrible person after one question about the assassination. And the question that was asked was that which was the claims by this shooter of who Trump was. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing wicked, evil, dark days. It demands our attention as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. We need to keep looking up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 1.